You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Certainly, that's where you're at, Business Sense, right here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media. Today, we are looking at personal finance, planning for the future without missing out on the present. And we're going to be having our guest, Lulu Ncube, guiding us through as to what to do and how to get it done. We know the importance of planning for the future, right? Making wise investments and making savings and so forth. But some may argue that excessively planning for your future could be costing you your present. You know, you actually become almost like a miser. You want to save everything for a rainy day that there is nothing at all to use today. You may not hear this particular warning very often as we are taught to prepare and tonight take our eyes off what's deemed to be important. So how do we then balance planning for the future and also living in the present? And guiding us at this point in time is Lulu Ncube, who joins us now on the line. Good evening to you and welcome to the Business Sense.
Good evening, Derek. How are you doing? And thank you so much for having me.
Only a pleasure. Doing quite all right. I thank you so much and trusting that we find you well.
I'm well, thank you. And I'm glad you're well too.
No, that's awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Lulu, we're talking finances this evening and again, appreciating your accepting the invitation to come and guide us and the listeners through this discussion. Is it possible to be overly pedantic in planning for the future where you can say, you know, you're too future minded and now you're presently useless? Or is that just maybe what discipline is all about, right? Suffer now so that you can enjoy later. They call it what, maturity, I think.
I like that. Well, it's very possible to be on both sides of the spectrum.
Oh, okay.
You can be overly disciplined, you know, and you are living for this future that may never even come. You know, you are over saving, you're over investing, and you're not also living in the moment. And then you can have those ones who are the YOLOs, if I may put it that way, mm-hmm. who believe that you only live once. So, you know, just splurge, do whatever you have to do and just enjoy the moment. Forget that there's tomorrow. Mm. And what we're trying to do this evening is to strike that balance. You know, yeah. We don't want anybody on the either sides of the spectrum, because the two extremes. Yes, indeed, live in the moment, but remember there's a tomorrow. So that's the part that we're really trying to bridge this evening.
And I think that's quite the key, right, where you need to find that balance. And I'm really glad that you're going to be assisting us and the listeners in that regard. For most of
Absolutely.
Us, it seems, I mean, like this idea of enjoying now and also enjoying later is quite out of reach. It's intangible. In fact, I remember this skit that goes around in the social spaces. If the money you have cannot fix the problems you have, then eat that money. You know, don't bother. Is it possible on an average Joe's salary to be able to do the both, especially to find that balance you're talking about?
Well, it is possible to find that balance. And I do understand you do leave once, but then we also need to understand that there are some mistakes that you cannot afford and they can cost you a lifetime of money to rectify. So I would say essentially prevention is always better than cure.
Okay.
So, I mean, the approach that I would like to go for, right? Yes, for somebody who has this YOLO mentality, contrasting with the more traditional long-term investment strategies, focused on the steady growth and risk management. I have these 7 tips that I would like to render to our listeners this evening. And the first one is a basic: stay educated and informed. You know what Benjamin Franklin once said? He says the only thing that is more expensive than education is ignorance. Yeah. So, for instance, if I am regularly reading up on personal financial blogs, attending workshops, or listening to podcasts about managing my money, eventually I become more informed, I become more educated, I'm able to make wiser decisions. I'm not going to be sitting here telling myself I only live once, living for today, and forgetting that tomorrow I still need to make a living, you know. So it's essential to always stay educated and informed. It also helps you to make better financial decisions and stay updated on the best practices, you know. I also love this verse in Proverbs 21 verse 20. It says that the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but the fool gulps theirs down. So the verse essentially is just highlighting the importance of saving and managing resources wisely rather than consuming everything immediately. And it just encourages thoughtful planning and prudent management with our possessions. So again, I'm not saying, you know, we've already spoken about the two extremes. I'm not encouraging anybody to be on the far end of the extreme, but I'm just saying how to be in, you know, how to strike that balance. Number one, stay educated and informed. And then the second one is that you need to set clear financial goals for yourself. So you're planning. You're planning for your desires. You're planning, you know, for that live your best life type of thing. It needs to be planned. It cannot just be done abruptly, right? So what I would say is you need to also count the cost versus the benefit. So if I have a desire, or let's call that your investment, so your desire is your investment, it needs to be financed. But if the desire doesn't have a modality to finance it, it's just a wish list, you know. There's a quote again here by Antoine de Saint. It says, a goal without a plan is just a wish, you know. So, I mean, many times, again, Bazotini, keeping up with the Joneses, you need to ask yourself what really informs those desires. Is it a legit type of desire where really I love traveling, you know, and for me, it's not just a desire or a want. It's also a need, you know, because I explore a lot about life and it satisfies something within me. Mm-hmm. So if you realize that is a goal in your life, right? So we have an investment now. How are we going to finance that investment? And then we ask ourselves the basic questions. Is this a short-term, you know, investment? Is this a medium term? Is this long term? Is it something that I'm able to do now? Is it something that maybe I need to kind of save up for, and I'm able to satisfy in the or is it a long term goal? So you need to put.
Ooh, Lulu. Okay, apologies for that. Looks like the line with Lulu they're dropping off a bit. We are in conversation with Lulu Ncube, who's talking to us about this balancing act we need to do as adults, right, where you can say there is the now that I need to live in, but there's also the future I need to plan for. And she's currently guiding us in terms of how do you plan for the future in a responsible manner, in a realistic manner, and avoid those two extremes. And she's just giving us a pointers as to, you know, managing with everyday salaries, this idea of you can still plan out a future. If you've, number one, she says, you need to first identify what are your goals, what is it that you're seeking, then also then plan, how do you then manage that which you're seeking so that you can actually realize it. And so we are having this awesome conversation. You too, my listener, are invited to share your thoughts, your comments. How do you view this idea of finance, and are you winning in terms of getting it all sorted out? Are you winning in terms of balancing this adulting, as if you will, or are you kind of struggling? Where are you struggling, and what are the pitfalls that you've picked up? We want to hear from you. Share your thoughts, your comments with us. We are currently conversing this evening with Lulu Ncube. Welcome back, Lulu. We had missed you there for a second.
Thanks, Derek. Good to be back.
indeed. We were talking about balancing, right? And you were guiding us there on how it is actually quite feasible to have not so much of a lavish income, but also be able to balance today's needs, but also even plan for the future. And you talked to us about how important it is to, number one, get educated, get informed about what you're looking for and know what the goal is, but also then plan for that goal.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely. And just to add to that, slow and steady always wins the race.
Okay.
So this is just emphasizing that gradual progress and consistency over time is a win. So for instance, if I would like a new gadget, the iPhone 15 Pro Max, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of impulsively buying just because everybody's getting it, right? And because it's trendy, why don't I sit down, plan, and save for it over a few months?
Oh.
You know, and I always say, if you do not have the cash right now, that means you can't afford it. If you're going to be getting debt to be buying things like phones, etc., is it worth it? You need to ask yourself those questions. So you determine if this purchase aligns with your broader financial goals. And you realize that often our desires are more than the income that we're generating. So if I have a desire, you know, for a vacation, let me save up for it. If I desire for a new car, at least let me save up for a significant portion of the deposit. And it helps me with the installments over time.
Yeah.
So steady and slow always wins the race. You do not need to be rushing and, you know, drowning into your desires, but have a way to discipline yourself and still getting the desire at the end of the day, right? And also, if you realize again that, you know, the one income stream is not helping. Why don't you also diversify your income streams? Actually, in this present world, I would say you are risking it if you're just depending on one income stream. And there's various types. You know, you can have your earned profits. You can have your interest, dividends, rental, capital gains, royalties. You know, again, just sit down and ask yourself, what product can I give to people out there that is relevant, that they may need, and that I'm able, you know, to sustain? Or what gifts do I have? What talents do I have that can generate me an extra income in order to meet my needs and my desires? And also, when it comes to diversifying your income, what we're simply saying is don't put your eggs in one basket. You know, we understand that in this current environment that we're living in, definitely the cost of living is getting higher by the day, but our income is still the same. Okay, so you're gonna do something about it. Don't just sit and wallow, you know, in self
complain,
and complain. What can you do about it? You know, and I love the fact that in this world of this globalization, there's also remote work that you can also render. For some people, you may have the gift of, you know, the spoken word in English, speaking English. You can teach the Chinese online. You know, we are connected to these devices. There's so much that you can do. I mean, one of my job descriptions also that I do a lot of remote work. You know, I'm sitting here all the way in Africa, but I am liaising with people in America, in the UK, you know. So with the time that God has given us, the 24 hours that you have, how are you able to allocate it in such a way that you can still make the best of it? You can't just be sitting in just one job and, you know, expecting miracles. Like I always say, don't expect to get rich from just a salary unless really you are in the top executive positions and, you know, you are earning so much.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's so much skills that you have, diversify. And there's this verse in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 10, says, give a portion to 7 or even to 8, for you know not what disaster may happen on earth. Exactly. It's just simply saying, why diversify your income and your investments? Because you cannot predict what challenges or risks may arise in the future. Another one, avoid emotional spending. This is a retail therapy for a lot of us. And you always need to study your financial biases. You know, many people don't understand why their pockets have holes. And they have holes. Why? Because we do not understand these emotional biases that we have. And Benjamin again, Graham says, the investor's chief problem and even his worst enemy is likely to be himself. You know, so when it comes to the management of money, if you realize that your money is not working for you, you need to discover who the enemy is. And most times you find that you are your worst enemy. So when you're feeling stressed, rather resist the urge to go on a shopping spree. Instead, why don't you find some non-monetary ways to manage your emotions?
Coping mechanism,
Exactly. Like taking a walk, meditating, praying, or talking to a friend, as opposed to using money as a solution to, you know,
it's not as nice, Lulu. It's not as nice to take a walk than to get a new dress. Come on now.
Oh, goodness. But, I mean, it's nice in the moment. It's nice in the moment. But the ripple effect, or, you know, the aftermath of that is not nice. When you have to sit counting the coins of paying off that dress, paying off the shopping spree, it's really, I always say it's not worth it. And why? We need to think long term. Always think long term. You know, if this desire is not going to take me into the future, then I would say it's not worth it. You know, for now, maybe I can just park it and until a later stage. And also, again, delayed gratification, choosing to wait for a greater reward rather than opting for an immediate and lesser one.
Yeah.
It pays off. I'm not like we're striking the balance, right? And we're saying as you're looking at your income right now, maybe you still need to diversify. And maybe you are starting off a business that will reap the rewards at a later stage. And when you've reaped those rewards, now you have additional disposable income for the things that you'd like to do, you know. And then now you can go for these shopping sprees if that's very important and it's a goal. You can go on vacations if that's very important. You can buy the latest iPhone. But again, ask yourself the question, why am I doing this? You know, the behavioral psychology aspect. Am I doing this to try to cover up for some voice that I have? Or is this really a need? And I always say, yes, let's focus on needs. But it's also important to have some occasional sprees of luxuries. Occasional, you know, I would consider a vacation a luxury, right? But it's a luxury that needs to be managed. Needs to be managed. And why am I categorizing it under luxuries? Because nobody ever died by not going on vacation. Okay? Nobody ever died.
Well, we don't really know. We don't really know.
Wow. We don't know.
Research just hasn't maybe stated it, but if you really go out searching, you might actually find out, wait a minute, this one here is because they missed the holiday, therefore.
And that's why they do it.
You know.
That's very interesting.
My listeners are not too impressed with you, Lulu. But honestly, Lulu, you can't just come on radio and say anything. Walking as therapy? Come on.
I promise you. Even Ellen White says it's the best form of therapy. Just take a walk.
Ellen White didn't have moles. That's one thing that she didn't have. She didn't have moles, so you can't really be used to measure.
You can't be using her as a measure. Mm-mm, oh, that's so funny.
Lulu, I want to. You mentioned this idea of risk and the challenges of tomorrow, and maybe someone out there is thinking, you know, you're saying we must miss out on today, or at least that's what they're hearing, because we want to plan for tomorrow. The Bible, Matthew chapter 6 says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. How would you respond to someone like that?
You know, there's this famous saying, it's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
A plan is if you still have 1,000 years, right?
Okay.
But live as if today was your last day.
Mm.
Yeah. So, yes, don't worry about tomorrow in the sense that we are leaving all our cares and the burdens of this life to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sit here and be trying to control things that are beyond me. I'm going to leave that in the hands of the Lord because he's the one who's in my life. But God is not encouraging us to be reckless in the process. He's not encouraging that. We ought to do our part, and we can't expect God to do for us what we can do for ourselves. I can't be shopping my life away, you know, when I still have rent to pay, when I still have a mortgage, when I have children that I need to feed, you know, because again, the same Bible says, he who does not take care of his household is worse than an imbecile. You get what I'm saying? So that the discipline is really still a part of the package that we can't do away with. But we are just saying, with the discipline, right? Actually, I would love for us to get more intertwined and to love more the discipline than we love the desires of this life. But you know what? Maybe because I'm more of a traditional person. You know what I'm saying? I find joy in the discipline. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I find joy in the saving now, knowing that it's going to reap rewards later on. Because I found myself on the other side as well. I know what it's like to splurge your life away. You know, I know what it's like to think about today, and then tomorrow you wake up and you're sitting with these debts and you have banks that are calling you over retail shopping. It is not worth it, you know. And when, you know, there's a joy also in knowing that, oh, wow, you know, I'm sitting in a house and the bed that I'm sleeping on is not actually what? Owned by the bank. Okay, fine. I have a television screen. It actually belongs to me. It's not something that the bank is going to be knocking on the door for, requesting for me to be paying up when I'm failing. It's those kind of things. So there's that sense of freedom. It's a financial freedom that comes with it, knowing that I'm not indebted to somebody else.
Yeah.
What? Even when I go on that holiday, I go with a peace of mind. I'm not coming back knowing that, oh my gosh, I've been borrowing money from friends to go on this holiday. Now I'm working. I'm working so hard to be covering for stuff, you know, for a joy or a desire that is already past. So it's really striking that balance. And what is more important at the end of the day? So when it comes to these desires and this wish list, that's why we always say, you start with the needs. What are my needs?
Okay.
You know, put that down. When you've covered the needs, okay, then there's these occasional joys or luxuries. What are the luxuries that I can take on right now in the short term? What are the luxuries that I can take on in the medium term? What are the luxuries that I can take on also in the long term? You know, so plan for those luxuries, but you cannot be compromising your needs over luxuries. You know, I can't sacrifice food that is an essential. I can't be sacrificing school fees for children just for education, just for a new car, which is depreciating. We cannot think like that.
Yeah. And I think that's a lesson that the younger generation really need to learn, because I feel like their mindset is a bit in a different space, especially in that regard. And I think when you mention these items, it means there needs to be a conversation had, Lulu, if I'm hearing you well, to say, when you're looking about these at these things that are meaningful and trying to plan as to what is the most important thing and so forth, we also need to equip our people to say, beyond just the looks, because I mean, we're quite a social media driven society, yeah, right? Beyond the looks and what others are going to say about you, there is the very real presence of you being comfortable, and that should matter more than what anybody else around. And be individual, be yourself, and be comfortable with what you're possessing and what you're having. And rather than, because I think the other challenge that is there is you look at people, and you're just mentioning about going on holiday and coming back to dates and the peace that is offered by knowing that you paid off here and paid off there, is that that kind of a lifestyle, in as much as which is the difference between now and yesteryear, right? To say that kind of a lifestyle seems possible, especially if you've got a good job and you think you can afford to borrow this and borrow that because you'll always be able to pay. But job security today is a bit different to job security 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that needs to be taken consideration. You might take out all those loans and debts and whatnot, but your job technically in 2024, whatever job you possess, is not guaranteed.
Yes. And this is the third part about that, Derek, is that many of us are choosing to live below the poverty line. We're literally choosing. You'll find that somebody has a good job, somebody's a professional, but because they're not managing their desires, they're not managing their money wisely, each and every month they're going into this mental breakdown. Why? Because you're trying to live a life that you cannot afford. And you've got to be true to yourself. Where am I at this stage? You can't be sitting here comparing your life with somebody who's been in the job market for 20 years, somebody who can afford driving. And you see, most times that's what usually happens.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who has been working so hard, you know, sacrifices, putting it all, you know, taking the children maybe to school, doing all of that. Not to say they didn't have occasional luxuries. Those were still part of the package. But later on in their lives, when the children are now living their lives, you can see that, you know, now they're taking vacations almost on a monthly. You know, I see why people do that a lot, you know. But they're rewarding themselves for this hard labor that they have put in.
Yes.
But you'll find us, you know, about 2,000, I'm a millennials. I just came into the job market right now. I'm already putting this as a goal, being on holiday every 2 months. That is not realistic, you know. Okay, for the general population, it is not realistic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you need to put that disclaimer right. And as well as sometimes what I've picked up as well is, I mean, you're speaking, and obviously being a Christian radio station, there are things that unfortunately we can't dabble in as God's children. And we're looking again at the Joneses, right? Looking at the neighbors and thinking, oh, but they can, but they can. But have you kind of taken a look at how they've managed to do the things they're doing? Are you able to do those things? Because you're competing yourself, but you're not in the same, forget the same plane, forget the same direction. You're in different dimensions altogether.
Exactly. And, you know, I always say with the Joneses, there's two types of Joneses.
Okay.
Like you were saying, there's those who have planned their lives out and they're enjoying the fruits of their labor.
Yeah.
And there's nothing as beautiful as enjoying the fruits of your labor. Oh, you know what I'm saying? Then there's the Joneses who are literally broke. You know, they're just putting up a facade. And then you'll find that there's a lot of young people who are using the Joneses like that as an example. Do not use broke people as an example when it comes to your finances. Do not. And don't be swept by these desires. Oh, you know, they've bought the latest car. They're living in the latest, I mean, the flashiest neighborhood. Those kind of things. So take a sit back and ask yourself why you are so enticed by that kind of a lifestyle. Is there something that is lacking in you that you kind of need these materialistic things around you to kind of fill a void? You know, you need to ask yourself these things. But really, when you sit back and you're accounting the cost and you realize a house is a need, a car is a need, vacations may be a need, you'll find in most cases you're not going to be doing those things luxuriously. Because there's really no need to be putting up this facade, buzzword team. It's not worth it. I always say the cost of doing those things is higher than the peace really that you are stealing from yourself if you could just stay in your lane and live within your means. And where you can grow and diversify your means, great. But even with that, I'm not encouraging that the more you have, the more you need to be, imposing more of your lifestyle inflation, because that's what happens now. The more income you're getting, you're now changing your lifestyle to suit that income. But you're not changing in a manner that is growing your net wealth. It's just growing your net losses, because it's just expenses expanding on your expenses. So these desires that we're chasing, why are you chasing them? You know, and do they really fill that void? The societal levels, if you realize in most cases, it doesn't. you know. So strike that balance. And just on that, you're talking about these debts that people accumulating because they think that they have job security. COVID has taught us a lesson. We have not come differently from COVID. My goodness, I don't know what it would take. I would say if debt is not generating more wealth for you, in the long term, it is costing you more than it's actually benefiting you. So if the returns on that debt are not higher, essentially, it's costing you. There is no need for you to have it. You don't need it. And those who are already stuck in the debt, I always say, well, there's a way out of it. But okay. Ellen White has this presentation, says, she says, you need to hate debt as you would hate leprosy. I know we've never had somebody probably who has leprosy, but think of your skin and all your body parts falling apart. Hate, you know, try to look at debt as that dreadful disease. That's what it's doing to you in the long term. So avoid it as much as possible. And then many of us, again, when we enter into these debt transactions, we are going for the high interest debts. We're not even clued up. We're not informing ourselves of the type of debts that are necessary. All these personal loans, avoid them. The interest rates on those things are so high. Why? Because in most cases, they're not secured. About overdraft, you know, these credit cards, and where you can really avoid these things, Bazalone, avoid it. Especially for my young ones, you're coming into the job market. This is what the banks always do. That's what they did to me, you know, because I was a young professional coming in, broke young professional who still need to climb up the ladder. And they're coming with all these black cards, but you're broke, coming with all these personal loans. You are broke, you know. And we just continue in this ripple effect of debt, this ripple effect of poverty. Why? Because you have not been taught better.
Certainly. You know, you remind me when you were mentioning as well there earlier about Bazotini. The honest truth is no one is talking about you. You're not that important, eh?
Exactly. No, really, you're not. You know, you are important for the first 15 seconds or the first 15 minutes. Thereafter, we continue with our lives. We don't care about you. But we're not. You need to go back home and think about how you're going to pay off those debts.
Lulu, thank you. It's sad. It is sad. Thank you so much for chatting to us. I want us to wrap it up with a point you kind of hinted on earlier on. You know, the planning is good, the information, the education, all these points you've given us, the tricks and the tips and all sorts are important, but it's all useless, especially if you're going to be talking the balancing act, if you don't have discipline. I want you to just wrap up the conversation addressing this very important thing to say. After all is said and done, this is where it really actually hinges around discipline. How can our listeners gain that, maintain that, sustain that, and utilize that to their advantage?
Oh, I love that. Absolutely. Prudent living is the game changer. Prudent. And that discipline is just summed up in this, creating a budget and sticking to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to have a budget on paper, but let that budget work for you. You know, your actual versus the budget needs to talk to each other. There should not be a huge discrepancy there. So, again, do not save what is left after spending, but spend after what is, after you have saved. That's what Warren Buffett also says. These are people that we actually look up to. These are rich people, you know, not even just rich people, wealthy people. But look at the principles that they are living on. And this is discipline. And also, let's not forget the SMART goals, okay? So be specific, be measurable. You know, they need to be achievable, realistic. They need to be time-bound. And making that monthly budget that allocates a certain amount for essentials, for savings, for investments, as well as for leisure. But stick to it by using the tools. You have the budgeting apps that you can use. And the more you do it, like I said, the more you inform yourself, the more you put this into practice, it becomes a lifestyle. And, you know, the little savings or the little that you're putting away every month, it grows because now it's a mindset. And before you know it, you're actually in a wealthier position because you're not sitting in debt. Many of us are broke because most of our money is, you know, is being invested in debt, invested in expenses. But if you can learn to discipline your lifestyle in that manner, now you have more disposable income for greater things that you can do.
Certainly. I think I love those words and a way to really just free ourselves from the clutches of debt that we have fallen into. And just to be, I like that, the mindset of wealth, where you can actually start utilizing your finances to grow rather than just to fill up holes that you're digging up. Lulu, thanks again for chatting to us. Your closing remarks, your final thoughts on today's conversation.
I would say that according to Leonard Lindell, that's what he says, the man who never has money enough to pay his debts has too much of something else. And another one by Warren Buffett says, risk comes from not knowing what you are doing. So when it comes to money, you should always know what you are doing. When it comes to money, invest it in all the right ways. Let money work for you. And do not allow yourself to be controlled by the desires and the urges of this life. You know, indeed, Matthew 6:33, because we're religious, radio, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So instead of chasing money, instead of chasing desires, why don't we chase the trajectory? Just chase God. And the more we are chasing God, he will satisfy these desires and all these other deeper needs, you know, that are lacking in our lives. And actually, what you may deem to be a need sometimes may not be a need. But seek God. Keep seeking God. And he will give you all the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to help you manage money instead of money managing you.
Wonderful stuff. I love that. Money must not manage you. Lulu, thank you so much for the evening. May God bless you. Have a good night.
Thank you very much. God bless you too.
Do you want to make your money make sense? Listen to Business Sense every Monday to Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. and make sense of your money.